God is worthy to be praised. Could you find 1 John chapter 4? Our text will be the first 6 verses in 1 John chapter 4. And if you're able to stand, I'd ask you to do so while I read these verses in your hearing. And then we bow together, ask God's gracious blessing on our meeting, that we might be all the better for having assembled here today. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It reads, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Verse 4. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them." And finally, verse 6. "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. Father, please make your word clear. Help us to understand what you are saying to us. Help us to lay hold of it by faith. Then grant great grace that we should order our lives according to the truth. For you have said we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Work now for your glory, for the good of our own souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject then today will be test the spirits. Test the spirits. Now, you will remember that we have seen that in this church, as in virtually all churches, there were believers and unbelievers as members. In this church, the membership was made up, John says, of children of God and children of the devil. And we learn from our text today that in this church, not only were there two kinds of children, but there were two kinds of spirits at work in this church: the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why does God labor to make sure his children know these kinds of realities? Because the truth is the only way we can be helped. And so God instructs us in then is he instructs us to be discerning with people claiming to be Christians. Be discerning. That's not judgmental. That's discerning. Because love believes all things. Love believes the best. Love gives people the benefit of the doubt, right? Someone says they are a Christian, you give them the benefit of the doubt, but you are discerning. See the difference? Now, what God has told us through this Apostle John is that there are two tests that you apply when someone claims to be a Christian. The first test is moral. The second test is theological. The moral test examines how a person lives. The theological test examines what a person believes. And so, when someone claims to be a Christian, you and I are to be discerning and examine how they live and what they believe. Because profession in and of itself does not make a person a Christian. Amen, New Hope? Jesus himself has said, there'll be many that will come to me on the last day that have professed. But Jesus will say, I never knew you. I know you professed. I know you were a member of that church, but I don't know you, and you didn't know me. I want to tell you something. You and I have a role in helping people that may be deceived. That's the point here. You don't help a person who's deceived by just patting them on the back and telling them it's going to be okay. That's like your child who has a major problem. You know they've got a major problem. And rather than confronting and trying to help them, you just pat them on the back and say they're going to be okay. They're not going to be okay. They need help. So we're not talking about being judgmental. We're talking about being helpful and loving people. You're to speak the truth in love. And so then John goes on to present the things that we're to look for with this moral test. In other words, he says here are the dominant things that you look for in a person's life who claims to be a Christian. And he says, this is the way you'll know the difference. You remember we looked at this last week and the week before. He says that you'll know that a person is a child of the devil if you see these two dominant character traits in their life. They live a habitually sinful lifestyle, and they do not love other Christians. That's verse 10 of chapter 3. He says, these two dominant character traits reveal that though this person claims to be a Christian, they are not. Though they claim to be a child of God, they are not. They, in fact, are a child of the devil. Now, I don't think in any way the Bible is wanting us to approach people and tell them they're children of the devil. That's not the point. But the point is, you need to know what you're up against. When you're dealing with a person that's enslaved to the devil, they don't need the book of Proverbs. They don't need to know how to get their finances right and how to treat their children right. You see, you're making a Pharisee out of them. They need to be set free. And so you help them by holding the mirror of the Word of God up before them. This is the way a child of God lives. And this is not the way you are living. And so then he goes on to say that there, the moral test, then when you see a child of God, you know it would be obviously just the diametrically opposed to what you see with the child of the devil. The two dominant character traits in the child of God is that they live a habitually righteous lifestyle. I believe that's verses 7 and 9 of chapter 3. and they love other Christians. That's the end of chapter 3. They love other Christians. How can you and I be so, well, first of all, how can God be so emphatic to say these things? And then how can John, by the power of the Spirit, be so emphatic to record these truths, not just for the first century, but for you and I today to say this is just as true now as it was in the first century? A Christian, a child of God, will live a habitually righteous lifestyle, and they will love other Christians. How can he say that? Well, he gives you the reason. Because, first of all, the child of God has been born again. Power from the Holy Spirit has been applied to that stony, hard, dull, dark heart, and they have been made alive on the inside. There's a new creation in there. And then John said it another way. He said that you have been delivered from spiritual death and brought into spiritual life. That's wonderful. You are alive now. You can hear from God now. Not just with your ear. The Bible calls it the ears and eyes of your heart. When God speaks, you listen. When he's talking about you, you say, that's me. The preacher isn't talking about me. God is. Isn't that great? Do you think that Apostle John is talking about you? You? This is God. We read the Bible because this is God. This is the Word of God. And if I say something that's not in accordance with this, throw it on the ground. Forget it. But if it's the Word of God, I'm just relaying it. And so, because you've been born again, because you've been delivered out of spiritual death and brought into spiritual life. And then he doesn't stop there. Then John says, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you. He's made his home in you. And that's phenomenal, isn't it? The creator, the maker of the universe, the one who formed you from the dust of the ground has come to make his home in you. This is staggering truth. The staggering truth. But that's the reason we can say you will live a habitually righteous lifestyle. God is at home. God is in his temple. That's the reason it's not church that makes you live right. You don't live right because you come into church Sunday morning. Get your life right on Saturday night because you got to go to church. No. The Holy Spirit is in the temple. Wherever you go, he goes. Isn't that good? So that's the children of God. And so John says, apply this moral test to people claiming to be Christians. But then, today, he's going to address what I referred to before as a theological test. All right? You understand what I'm saying? The moral test we looked at the past couple of weeks. The moral test is how people live. That's one thing the Bible says that you and I are to examine. Jesus said it another way. Examine the fruit of their lives. The same thing. You look at a person's life. Now, John says, we're going to look at a theological test. You remember what I said? Theological test is what people believe, and particularly in this case when he's talking about false teachers and preachers, what they teach. You need to be very discerning about what people believe and teach. So let's take a few minutes and look at these six verses and see if we can be helped. So John gives this encouragement to be discerning. And he starts out with a command. You see that in verse 1? 1 John 4 and verse 1. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Everything supernatural does not come from God. The Bible never denies that there are supernatural things happening. But the Bible also wants a Christian to be aware that just because it's supernatural doesn't mean that God is doing it. From old through the New Testament, you see evidence of that. So you and I start out by recognizing that everything supernatural is not from God. Matthew 24, Jesus said that false prophets and false Christs were going to rise and they were going to come and they were going to have these great signs and wonders that are going to keep people awed, okay? It's not from him. In writing to the Corinthian church, you remember in 1 Corinthians 12? Paul says that everybody speaking in tongues is not God. You understand what I'm saying? Don't buy into this false teaching today that everything you hear that sounds like tongues is from God. That's the clear teaching of the Bible. But yet Christians just disregard that. And that's the reason so many are deceived. You go into a worship service and you think God must be here. Listen to all this stuff. They're doing just the opposite of what the Bible says. Everybody's carrying on and a huff and a puff, and the Bible says, don't do that. That's what they're doing. And they call it spiritual. And you'll be swept right along because it feels so good. And so, John says, children, be discerning. Don't you start thinking that everything spiritual is from God or everything supernatural. You cannot believe everyone who claims to speak for God. You cannot believe everyone who claims to teach and preach for God. You cannot believe everyone who claims to be led by the Holy Spirit. So he says, do not believe every spirit. John goes on to say that we are to test the spirits. You see that in verse 1? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test them to see whether they are from God. Test the spirits. What does that mean? Examine the content of what you're hearing to see if it's consistent with the Word of God, which means you got to listen. You see, a lot of us grew up in churches where the preacher wants you to get going with him. And you get the amens going with him, and you don't know what's going on. I remember when Philip and Daniel used to, my old home church down in Magnolia, they go down in the summers, and they kind of changed pastors since I was there. But Phil's favorite pastor was there, and we were there that Sunday, and he got going. He was rolling, you know. You know, those of y'all grew up in the South, you know what I'm talking about. He was smoking, and he was a hooping, and he was a can on, his handkerchief was flying. And then he got to saying, I want to tell you about, who am I talking about? His name is G-E-S-U-S. And everybody just going, hey, yeah, and they ain't even listening to what's going on. Amen. Hey. I mean, even my son said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know what you're talking about, but you got to, at least you ought to spell his name right. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a problem. Listen to me now. This is a problem. When you get so impressed with the supernatural, you get so impressed with these miracles that are going on. This is a problem. When you get so emotionally involved in a sermon, so emotionally involved in a teaching and a lesson, so emotionally involved in a song that you stop being discerning. Don't do, now you know, I'm not discouraging anybody from worship. You know that. You ought to, we're to worship in spirit and truth, but God does not want you to be led astray. You're not to be out of your mind. What did God? You've got a new mind now. God has made your mind new. You can discern. And so he wants you to exercise. All right, you with me on that, right? So there's the command for discernment, and then he gives a reason. Look at the end of verse 1. He says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. The reason that we are to test what preachers and teachers say, the reason that we are to examine what preachers and teachers say is many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. There are many pretenders who are making false promises to people. There are many pretenders who are giving false teaching to adults, false teaching to children, false teaching to the poor, false teaching to the rich, false teaching to the healthy, false teaching to the sick, false teaching to anybody that will listen to them. And it does, it's irrespective it's as if they don't love people. If you love someone, how can you lie to them? And say that you're a man of God. Many, many false teachers are affecting the lives of God's people. And you need to listen to me. Many false teachers are affecting the lives of God's people. Because we're not discerning as we should be. Listen to me. Their intent is to lead God's people astray. That's their intent. Let me show you something. Matthew 24:24, I think it is. Matthew 24:24, listen to this. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Even the elect. Now, I'm thank God that the Bible says if possible. But you see what their intent is. Their intent is to lead God's people astray, to lead us away from the truth. Thank God, our Heavenly Father, who does not intend for us to be deceived. And we talk about that next, the reason that we're not. But you see their intent. It's not for your good. That's the reason I say to you, turn the television off. If it's a false prophet, you say, but I can handle it. You probably can, but what benefit are you getting? They began to plant these little seeds. And see, that was Eve's problem. She sat and listened as that seed of doubt was planted. How can a lie help you? Come on now. How can a lie help you? So why sit and listen to it? So, that's the encouragement to be discerning. The next thing he gives is instruction in what I call exercising discernment. He gives instruction in exercising discernment. I want to look at discerning the Spirit of God first. Take a look at verse 2. 1 John 4 and verse 2. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The theological and doctrinal test for all teachers and preachers and those who handle the Word of God, the theological test is what they believe and confess in regards to Jesus Christ. What they believe and confess in regard to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This has to be your test. This, you listen for this. This is what, if this is wrong, if what they believe and confess about Jesus is wrong, it doesn't matter what else comes. Their whole house and structure is built on a flaky foundation. It's going to fall. It's going to fall. Teachers and preachers from God, and that is teachers and preachers being influenced and used by the Spirit of God, will confess the incarnation of Jesus Christ as God's unique Son. And they will believe in Him as Savior and Lord for the salvation of their own souls. So what John is getting at here is when he talks about belief and faith, what they believe and what they teach, that is that they have embraced it. Jesus Christ has become their own Lord and Savior. They're teaching out of what they believe themselves. And so when you read the word confess here, this isn't just something that happens with the lips. Remember Romans 10? You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So the heart, when you see just the word confession used in the scriptures as a valid work of God, it's talking about the heart being engaged before the confession is made. So these, a true servant of God will confess the incarnation of Jesus as the unique Son of God, and they will believe in Him as Savior and Lord. That's the whole idea of verse 2. Now, listen to me. This will always, 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 always be true. That's John's point. It'll always be true because the Holy Spirit will always bear witness of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will always glorify Him. So anybody being used by the Spirit for the work of God will always function this way. Amen, Christian. Now you need to get this. It'll help us all as we try to discern this whole plethora. I mean, with the media nowadays, you're flooded with it. Television, radio, the internet. I don't know much about Twitter, but I'm sure people are twittering. False prophets are twittering now, whatever the other stuff is. False prophets probably got Facebook and other all kind of books. And so, this is a serious matter. Serious matter. And you need to be careful how you expose yourself out there. Because see, it's like these advertisers. Once they get your name, what do? You can't get rid of the junk mail. It's just coming from everywhere. Right? And so be careful how you put your name and address and your information, make it available to these false prophets. John 15. You know these verses, but let me just remind you of them. John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit bears witness about Christ. Then drop down to chapter 16. Look at verse 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak out of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This will always be true because the Holy Spirit will always have this kind of character. Always be true. He'll never be anything other than the Spirit of truth. He will never deny Christ. He will always bear witness. There's no way the Spirit of God could make a man deny Christ. And to say untrue things about him. Believers are not to fear their persuasive arguments. I've had, in my own interaction, I've had people that they throw something at you that you're not quite prepared for. That's okay. You don't need to be discouraged because of that. Just say, I'll get back to you. You're not going to change my mind just because I can't answer that question. Don't be dissuaded by their persuasive arguments. See, that's what the deceiver does. He tries to throw you off balance, try to take a verse out of context and throw it in there, and you're not familiar with it, and so you get all tripped up. It's okay to say, I'll get back to you. Don't be discouraged by their persuasive arguments. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will alert you when they're trying to trick you. You know, you can't get it all figured out, but you can see they're trying to take me. I can't go. I see where this argument is going. I'm not going there. And I would encourage you that you need to be discerning. You're going to encounter people that all they want to do is argue. You answer one question, they say, yeah, but, and they move on to the next one. Because they're really not looking for an answer. They want an argument. And so they got all of them stacked up right there. You get done with one, they move to the next one. You see, if you see that's happening, they're not looking for it. Jesus just, it reached a point where Jesus did not answer, period. And you need to be discerning. If a person just wants to argue, you can let that alone. Don't be discouraged with their persuasive arguments. See, verse 4 is that because the Holy Spirit will keep and guide us in the truth. Look at verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. You don't need to be afraid of their arguments. They may win the argument, but they haven't won. God still wins, and he'll keep you from being deceived. He'll help you realize you may not be able to answer that question, but you still live in the truth. Matter of fact, I'd say this to all of you. There are times that we all need to be humble. And I've been humbled by my share of questions that I couldn't answer. I believe that God uses that to keep us humble. Keeps you coming back to him. There's times that somebody will stump me at work. And you didn't even think they were, you know, that they had that in them. And I know God used that to drive me back to the scriptures. You ever had to do that? Somebody asked you something and you couldn't. What do you got to go back and study now. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Don't run from that. Don't run from that. And so verse 4 says, you are from God and have overcome them. The Holy Spirit in you is greater than the spirit of the world working in them. The Holy Spirit is greater. He's greater in wisdom. He's greater in power. He's greater in authority. He's greater in character. The Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist in every way. You need to remember, God is the creator, not Satan. God made him. Don't let that deception get he's not equal with God. He's a created being. You belong to God. That's what John is getting at here. So be careful. Not get tripped up. Believers are not to fear or be discouraged by the effectiveness of false teachers. In other words, don't get discouraged because we got so many empty spots in these pews at New Hope, yet the false prophets are growing by leaps and bounds. Don't be discouraged by that. Listen to the Bible. The road is wide, and many find that road that's leading to destruction. And I like the way John MacArthur outlines that passage. He says that what you got here is two roads, a massive freeway and a little narrow one over here. They both say heaven. Very few on this one. Masses on this one. That's the reason that funerals coming up, Farrah Fawcett, I'm just trying to be legitimate, and these important people that are dying now, they're going to all go to heaven, according to somebody. I'm just saying to you that you and I have to hold to the truth. Because why should we not be discouraged? Look at verse 6. We should not be discouraged because God's people will listen to him and they'll listen to us. That's what the Bible teaches. You see verse 6? We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to who? Us. Does your Bible say that? That's what God says. Jesus said it this way. My sheep, what? Hear my voice. I know them, and they follow who? Me. We don't need to fear. Don't need to fear. God's people listen to him, and they will listen to you if you speak for God. Then, he gives us some instruction about discerning the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the spirit of God. But he doesn't want us to leave without some instruction about discerning the spirit of the Antichrist. Look at verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Teachers and preachers that are not from God will not confess Jesus Christ as the unique in his incarnation as the unique Son of God, nor will they believe in him as Savior and Lord. They may have clever ways of going after it, but they may use his name. And you know many false prophets use Jesus' name. That's not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about they won't speak his name or talk about him, but they don't confess him from... You remember what I told you? It's the heart and the mouth that aren't synchronized. And so you're hearing one thing with the lips, but another thing going on in the heart. They do not, according to this verse, confess him as the unique Son of God. Now, these verses go on to say that they are very popular. You look at verse 5. The spirit of the Antichrist is a popular spirit nowadays. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. The world listens to them. They are popular in the world and among unbelievers in the church. And that's the reason when Paul wrote to churches, he could see the spirit of the world was creeping into the church. It's supposed to be the other. We're supposed to be evangelizing the world, and rather the world is evangelizing the church. We're changing the standards now. We've got to make the church look like businesses. You got equal opportunity EEO happening in businesses. You got to have it in the church. There's only one EEO here, and that's God. Whatever God says in the church goes. Now, that makes a lot of us unpopular. And that's the reason in many cases you see a lot of empty pews. But it's Jesus died for his church. It's his. He's not looking. If folks don't agree with it, that's you don't have to apologize for that. Because you remember what John has already said? The world hates you. They just haven't told you that yet. You just don't, now, in other places around this globe, Christians know that the world hates them. And it's sure beginning to look a lot like that in America. So stand for truth. They are popular in the world and among unbelievers in the church because they preach a popular message. They preach a message that satisfies the flesh. Preach a message that satisfies the flesh but cannot save the soul. Christ demands submission to him. Christ demands submission to the word of God, submission to his authority. Christ demands holy living and holy love, but not their message. Their message doesn't demand submission to Christ. It doesn't demand living holy. It's an amazing thing. You listen very carefully now when you hear Joel Osteen and a lot of these, Creflo and these guys. Listen to what they talk about. Listen to what they offer people. A lot of these end time ministries that all they do is talk about prophecy. Listen to what they offer. Where is the holy life? Where is the submission to Christ? Where is the denying of yourself? How can you deny yourself and claim your Cadillac? Listen, you got to listen, my brother, my sister, listen. Listen with a discerning heart. And here's the problem. When you start offering people that to get them, what you got to do to keep them? You got to keep going. That's the reason it gets more bizarre. I heard a preacher, let's see, was this last year, year before? One of the false prophets says, now if you believe Jesus, you'll have gold start growing in your teeth. Shakes, cheering and carrying on. I got gold dust growing in mine right now. Now, how did he get there? He didn't start there. But see, when you start, if that's what you're offering to people, you got to keep going. That's the reason I tell you, don't be lured in. I know some of us are having difficult financial times. Don't be lured in. They take these verses and twist them. How in the world can a true preacher say that Jesus was rich? Say, if he wasn't rich, how'd he have a treasurer? Come on. I don't need to go down that road. Hopefully you see how ridiculous these things are. Don't you? And you keep that in mind when you're hearing these things. Okay? Don't let your emotions get you carried away to where you can't turn the TV off. Oh, my. Their religious message gives freedom to satisfy the desires of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride in materialism. You see, that's the reason their message is so popular. People want to hear that. Just this week, I think my relatives wouldn't mind me sharing this. We got one of our relatives was invited to a church, and he knew. He didn't know, I guess, before going who the preacher was. But he got there and realized he knows the preacher. And the preacher's running, chasing women all over the city. Has he divorced his wife? I can't remember. Anyway, he's divorced his wife, and now he's, you know, obviously he's got his section in the church and everywhere else. And so this person went there and says, I can't come here and listen to this. How's my life going to be changed and ordered when he's doing the same thing? I don't need to come to church and do the same thing that I'm doing in the streets. You see, when you are When you're preaching and teaching so that people can go on and fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride in materialism, then they come to your church. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The reason their message is popular to the world is because the world will listen to them. I feel y'all in my age group. I just want to see a sign of hands. How many of y'all remember Hollywood Squares? Anybody remember that? For those who are not familiar with it, you know, it was this TV show where they'd have a three-by-three stack of boxes with a chair in there where a celebrity could come and sit, you know, and they'd be stacked on top of it. It was kind of a tic-tac-toe thing. I think the way you play it is that you try to solve the tic-tac-toe with these contestants. And so the celebrity would be there, and they would ask the celebrity a question. The host of the show would ask the celebrity a question, and the celebrity would answer the question, right? You remember that? And so the contestant then would have to determine if they were telling the truth or a lie. The contestant would have to be discerning, and they had, you know, sometimes they'd be giddy, and you wouldn't know if they're serious. Or other times they're serious and wouldn't know what they're talking about. But you needed to be discerning, and you need to have a little knowledge about the subject, all right, in order to know whether they were lying or telling the truth. Well, in a lot of ways, the same principle applies in the church. There are a lot of people giving answers. That doesn't mean that it's true. There are a lot of people teaching and preaching the Bible. It doesn't mean that it's true. You have to be discerning. They have pleasant smiles. They dress nice. They look like anyone else. And they can be so persuasive. If you remember that show, those celebrities could be so persuasive when they were lying. They could look and grin and lie all day. And so, I simply encourage all of us to be discerning. So then, what's the message from John to us? Do not believe everyone who claims to preach and teach for God. Do not become overly impressed because they have a large following. Do not become overly impressed because they have a mega church. Do not become overly impressed because they have a television ministry, because they publish books, because they have CDs and DVDs. Don't be overly impressed by that. Do not become overly impressed because they make you feel good. They give you goosebumps. Every time you hear them, they give you goosebumps. Don't let your goosebumps deceive you. Don't be deceived because they are powerful and persuasive. Don't get carried away in emotion. But examine the content of their message. Examine what they have to say about the person and work of Christ. Examine, do they submit to the authority of Christ? Do they submit to the authority of the Word of God? Do they teach and preach the Word of God? Do they preach the Bible, or do they preach about the Bible? The Holy Spirit will enable you to discern. The spirit of truth from the spirit of error. The Holy Spirit will give you power to overcome their persuasive teaching, and he will not allow you to be deceived. So, my brother, my sister, stand for Christ. Don't give way. Don't go cower and hide. Stand for Christ. You've got the Spirit of God working in you. Contend for the faith. Fight the good fight. Hold on. Keep the faith. Finish the race. Don't give up. Live holy. Love holy. Don't change your life because the masses are going another way. Love holy in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, and He is greater, greater, greater than the spirit of this age. He's greater than the spirit of error. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, He's great enough to save you. Get beyond looking and thinking about me.
Think about the Christ that I'm speaking of. He's your only hope. Believe upon him and you will be saved. You won't be susceptible to these deceptions that we're talking about, because now you'll have the Spirit of God in you to prepare you for life in this world. Would you believe on him today, my friend? Young or old, would you believe on him today?
Father, thank you for the truth that you so graciously give to us. And I ask you to take my feeble effort and use it for your glory. Would you save a soul for your glory? Would you help your people that may have been taken in by some false teacher or some false preacher? Would you help them to get beyond me and hear you? Would you help them, Lord? We all need your help in this world filled with devils and deception. We know that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father, for the victory, to know that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.